The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Last week we continued the topic of the first day of the week, or the Lord's Day, a two-part sermon on the Lord's Day. We also considered in conclusion of that sermon last week the greeting given to the disciples by Christ as he appeared suddenly in their midst. He said, Peace be unto you. And how those were words of comfort and for consolation. Now, in many cases, words like that would be words of greeting. But the scripture makes it very obvious, especially in, I believe it's Luke's gospel, maybe Mark's, that these words, peace be unto you, are words of comfort and they are words of consolation. And I had intended this morning to look at verses 20 all the way to 23, and I had intended to preach on a glad vision, as we see in verse number 20, a glad vision, and then verses 21 to 23, a great mission. And as I prepared through the week, it became obvious that I wouldn't get past a glad vision. I want to consider this glad vision, and I call it glad vision because it says that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And I want to give you something this morning that I believe should help you, and I hope will help you. Because I know that in our church, as I suspect in every church, there are many struggles, many heartaches, many sorrows, many burdens. I think that we are a very needy people. And I think that any person in this room at any time will always have many heavy burdens that they are carrying. And I hope that we can help you this morning with this thought of a glad vision. Now, I want to remind you of the great cauldron of mixed emotions and mixed feelings that were found in this room. There were many of these men, and I'm not assuming that it was only men, but in this case, there are many of these men that are dealing with shame and disappointment in themselves. I don't know how it is with you, but as a Christian, I am often, and I'm not talking about I am shamed publicly. I'm talking about privately, I am shamed and disappointed in myself for my Christian walk and my Christian faith. I mean, these are men who had abandoned Christ. And one of them had vehemently denied that he knew Jesus. And he did it with all kinds of curse words, denying that he knew who Jesus was. But all of them had abandoned Christ in his hour of need. And so in this room, they are dealing with shame and disappointment in themselves. Their emotions were still raw from having witnessed the unjust arrest and terrible death of their master and teacher. Imagine now how their feelings, their emotions would have been raw from having just witnessed this unjust arrest and this terrible death of their master and their teacher. There were many of them that were perplexed and confused at the empty tomb. And they were trying desperately to make sense of it. It made no sense. That great stone had blocked the opening of that sepulcher. Roman soldiers had stood guard outside of it. So how is it there are no Roman soldiers and the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty and they are perplexed and confused? What I'm doing this morning is I'm showing you the emotions and the feelings that were going on in this room at this moment. Shame, disappointment in themselves, raw feelings from having seen the unjust arrest and death of their teacher, perplexed and confused at the empty tomb. Some of them, probably many of them, were dealing with the uncertainty of their future direction without Jesus Christ. Now imagine this. They had left family businesses. They had left off fishing. They had left jobs with the government. All right, government jobs. Everybody wants a government job, you know. They had left these things. They had walked away from them. In some cases, they had burned bridges. And now here they are in this room, uncertain of what they're going to do. What are they going to do? Their teacher's gone. I mean, he was unjustly arrested and crucified, and now his tomb is empty and he's gone. What are we going to do? There was a mixed concoction of excitement and doubt. I mean, they had heard the news of the resurrected Christ from the ladies. And yet these ladies seemed as though they were telling tall tales. And so there's this excitement mixed with doubt, this kind of confusion. There were those in that room dealing with apprehension and nervousness. If Jesus was alive, on seeing him, imagine the apprehension and nervousness of Peter when he hears the news that Jesus is alive. And if it's true, imagine his feelings of having a face-to-face with the one he denied so vehemently that he knew. Imagine the others who had said, "We will be arrested with you and we will die with you." And then they scattered. Imagine their apprehension of seeing a risen Christ, if he indeed was risen. They were suffering with the loss of their honor. And honor would have been a big deal in the Eastern countries. To lose one's honors, to lose one's reputation is terrible. Terrible. You do understand the loss of a reputation, how difficult that is. The loss of honor. I mean, it takes years and years and years to build up reputation and to build up honor. And you realize it can all be lost in a matter of minutes. It can take 30 years to build up that kind of reputation and honor among men and can be lost in minutes. And they're dealing here with a loss of their honor. And they're all stricken with fear that the Jewish leadership was at this very moment possibly hunting them down. They no longer had their master and teacher to fend for them or fight for them or stand in the way. They are in this room with their doors barred because they are afraid the Jews are coming for them, the Jewish leadership. All of these emotions were present in that room on this first day of the week. All of those emotions were there. Guarantee it. Maybe the room was alive with concurrent, lively conversations. I can see that. Everybody talking in a corner. Everybody talking at once, talking over one another. Maybe it was quiet and mostly somber. I don't know. But what I do know is that Luke tells us that when Jesus appeared in the midst of them, add to those all those other emotions that I just explained to you. Luke says that when Jesus appeared in the midst of them, they were terrified. So add terrified to the list. They were petrified because they were in a room with barred windows and doors, and all of a sudden, the one whom was supposed to be dead, maybe alive, we don't know, not sure. All of a sudden, he is in the midst of them. And they don't know how. And they're terrified. And then Christ speaks peace to them. Peace to calm all of those feelings and all of those emotions and that terrified heart of theirs. And not only did he speak peace to them, but he invited them to see his wounds. And he invited them, he said, handle me, touch my wounds, see that it is me. And in one brief moment, all of those terrible emotions begin to melt away and begin to be replaced with relief. And begin to be replaced with joy and begin to be replaced with calm and satisfaction. At that one moment when he said, peace be unto you, and he invited them to see him and to touch him, all of those emotions, all of those terrible, terrible emotions begin to fade and be replaced with relief and with joy and with calm. They went from a dark cloud of emotions to warm sunshine that filled every crevice of their heart and warm sunshine that filled every crevice of their mind. You know how it is. You know how it is. Dark, rainy, cold, dreary day. You know what that does to you emotionally. And then you know when the next day is bright and sunshiny and you just go out. And you do this. Ah, it feels so good. And they had been under a dark cloud of emotions. And Christ appears and says, peace be unto you. Touch me. See that it's me. And all of a sudden, this warm sunshine filled every crevice of their heart, their soul, and their mind. Their friend was once again with them. Their fellowship was once again restored. And they were literally glad and rejoicing at the resurrected Christ. And as I stated many weeks ago, I'm of the firm belief that we too will see the wounds of the crucified and yet risen Christ for all of eternity and be glad. Revelation 5:6 says, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. I believe that through all of eternity we will look upon Christ and forever be reminded that he, the Lamb of God, was our substitute, who suffered and died for our sins, and who is alive forevermore, and we shall be glad, like the disciples were glad. The vision of Christ as our substitute and the wounds of the Savior will make us glad. I want to remind you, we're very familiar with those emotions that those disciples felt in that room. I told you that as a Christian, I have experienced shame, disappointment in myself, confusion, uncertainty, doubt, nervousness, fear. We all have those from time to time. All of us. All of you have experienced shame. Maybe are now. Disappointment in yourselves. Maybe are now. We understand these emotional cancers. And they're just that. They're emotional cancers. They're things that grow and eat away at your heart and mind. And in fact, there are many others that invade our heart and mind. Anger is a cancer that eats away at us. Sadness, loneliness, discouragement, depression, emptiness, helplessness, hopelessness, guilt, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, envy. All of these emotions, all of these feelings are cancers that eat away at us. And I'm here to say this morning, this is the crux of the message. All of these emotions, the ones that I mentioned that those men and women were dealing with in that room. And this list that I've just mentioned, anger and sadness, loneliness and discouragement, depression and emptiness, helplessness, hopelessness, guilt, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, envy, all of these things. The answer is the same for all of them. And it's the same answer as is found in our text. And it is this: time in the presence of God. Time in the presence of God. And by that, I mean time in prayer and time in the Word. That is how we have intimacy with God. That is how we dwell in the presence of God, is in prayer and in the Word. Prayer is, as I thought about this, our therapy, where we open up ourselves honestly before God and we confess all of our weaknesses and we confess our failures and we confess our feelings and we confess our sins before Him. You know, like Queen of Sheba did to Solomon, she opened up all her heart and poured it out to the wise Solomon. And as a believer dealing with all of these cancerous feelings and these cancerous emotions, these harmful things in our life, we can just open our heart to God and pour it all out to Him. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We can pour all these out to the Lord. Tell Him exactly how we feel. Tell Him every emotion. Tell Him what's eating away at you. And the Holy Spirit of God is the surgeon that begins to remove those cancerous feelings and those dangerous emotions with His surgical instruments of the Word of God. Nothing can fix the heart and mind like God can. And nothing can heal the heart and mind like God can. Psalm 51:10, the psalmist said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew a right spirit within me. Because all of these emotions and feelings are not right and they're not good and they're dangerous and they're harmful and they're cancerous. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And this is exactly what Paul told the believers at Ephesus. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that renewal of a right spirit within us is done, Paul tells the Corinthian believers, it's done day by day. Day by day, we renew our minds and we renew our inner man. Day by day, the spirit of our mind is renewed day by day. And it is renewed in knowledge, as Paul tells the believers at Colossae, that we might be more in the image of our Creator and Savior. The answer to those sinful feelings in our mind, the answer to those damaging feelings in our heart, is time in the presence of God, day by day. Daily prayer and supplication. Daily scriptures. Renewing our inner man. Renewing our mind. Day by day by day. If you don't have time for prayer, if you don't have time for the Word, then you're just going to be left up to your own to deal with all of those destructive emotions. The anger, the resentment, the bitterness, the jealousy, the hatred. You're going to be left up to your own to deal with the sorrow, the shame, the disappointment. Or you can come to Christ. Listen, they were glad. They had all of these emotions they were dealing with. All of these, each one was dealing with different emotions. Some were dealing with the same emotions. And they saw Christ and they touched Him and they were glad. They were glad. And so I see it this way. You have a choice. You can try to tackle these on your own and overcome these things on your own and most likely fail. Or you can come to the Lord in prayer, open up all your heart and pour it out. And you know, that's we know, listen, we know, we absolutely know that opening up and telling people, talking about helps healing. It helps. We know that. Everybody knows that. Well, the best one you can tell and talk to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just open your heart and pour it all. Write it on a piece of paper and lay it out on your bed and ask God to read every word of it. They saw the Lord. And they were glad. Now, verse 20. Could be a fulfillment of John 16:22. In John 16:22, ye now therefore have sorrow, Jesus said to his disciples, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. So this could be a fulfillment of John 16:22. I went back and looked at my notes at John 16:22, and I found that I gave four possibilities of what Christ meant here. And really, all four possibilities are feasible. And very possibly, all four possibilities could have been every one of them right. But this is certainly one of the possibilities. When he said, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And certainly that fits what we're reading this morning in our text. They had sorrow and many other emotions. And yet he saw them again and their heart rejoices. While spending time day by day in prayer and supplication and in the Holy Scriptures, It will renew your mind. It will cleanse your inner man. It will root out dangerous and cancerous emotions and feelings. But understand this. Get this. Time with God. Time in the presence of God. Day by day. Prayers and supplications. Reading, meditating, studying, memorizing the word. Those will help cleanse the inner man. Those will renew a right spirit within you. But that will not necessarily root out and destroy the outside things that engaged your feelings in the first place. In other words, those people, and those problems, and those difficulties are likely to still be there. You need to understand that, believer. Those people that have caused you such consternation, those people that have just emotionally wrecked you, those people that have done something to you and bitterness has crawled in, or jealousy has crept in, those people that have done something and anger and hatred has crept in. Listen, you can get rid of those emotions by renewing your mind and renewing your spirit day by day, renewing the inner mind, but that does not necessarily mean that those people will change. And it does not mean that those problems that have caused you this wreck of emotions, the problems will not change, and the difficulties are likely to still be there. But you will be so immersed in the person and promises of Christ that your reaction will be much more spiritual than carnal. Amen. Amen. Is your workplace causing you such turmoil in mind and spirit? Is your family causing you such turmoil in mind and spirit? Is there difficulties that are just wrecking you emotionally and you're always in a roller coaster of feelings? Day by day, renew your inner man. Prayer and supplication. Feasting on the word, meditating upon the word, let the Holy Spirit cut those cancers from you. And those problems are most likely still going to be there. But now you can respond to them in a more spiritual fashion instead of a more carnal fashion. Why? Because you are so immersed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are so immersed in the promises of God. Christians can be at peace and even rejoice while circumstances around them are difficult. It's possible. Did you know that? It is possible that believers can be at peace and even rejoice when circumstances are difficult around them. Most of the time, God will not change our circumstances, but He can change our view of them, and He can change our response to them. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, in the first epistle here that bears his name, is writing to Christians who are under great trial of persecution. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verses 3 to 9. Now these believers are under great trial of persecution. It's why he writes to them. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Listen carefully. Watch. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Look at that. His abundant mercy, he has begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with a fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing ye, yet though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this is right in the middle of a season of heaviness and manifold temptations and trials. You know what? Now bear with me. I understand what I'm about to say here, okay? I don't want to be taken wrong, but understand this. These believers that Peter is writing to has actually done something much more remarkable than those in the room in our text. In our text, they saw the Lord and touched him, felt him, and were glad. What's it say here? You don't see him, and yet you rejoice. So in this respect, these believers have done something greater than the ones in our text. The ones in our text saw him with their eyes and felt him with their hands, and they were glad and rejoiced. But these believers, they've not seen him, and yet they love him. They've not seen him, and yet they believe, and they've not seen him, yet they rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory in the season of heaviness and manifold temptation. Their circumstances were not good. And yet they were able to keep a good mind and a good heart and not allow those cancerous feelings and emotions to overtake them. How did they do it? With an absorption of Christ and fellowship with him. Brother and sister, I don't know. David probably knows. Brian probably knows. Was it Martin Luther that said, you can't prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from nesting in your hair? Maybe you've heard that. I don't know who said it. I thought maybe Martin Luther said it. You can't prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from nesting in your hair. Do you get that? You can't help the sudden emotions that come upon you. You can't help that all of a sudden anger has overwhelmed you and all of a sudden disappointment has crushed you and all of a sudden sadness has blindsided you. You can't help these emotions that come at you. You can't help it. You don't ask for them. You don't want them. You're not looking for them. They just, bam, they blindside you. But you can keep them from growing in your heart and mind and destroying yourself. You can keep them from building a nest. You don't have to feed bitterness and anger and hate and sorrow. You don't have to feed it and make it grow. No, you can come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in prayer and supplication and in the word, you can renew your inner man, renew your mind, renew your heart, renew a right spirit within you. And have a different outlook and a different response. Lord willing, next week we'll meet together and consider this great mission that he sends them on. And of course, this is going to answer the question that some of them have, what are we going to do? I wonder if my government job is still available. I wonder if Dad sold my fishing boat. Next week, he'll give them a mission in which they will spend the remainder of their lives and even die for this great mission that he gives them. May God bless the teaching and preaching of his word. May God bless his little flock at Bethaven. Let us pray.